Errol Flynn, Darth Vader, Aragorn, Inigo Montoya in The Princess Bride, and countless others have one thing in common, Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson was a Royal Marine and one of the greatest generation in World War II. He was an Olympic fencer and a Hollywood legend as a sword master. Here to talk about the person, his skill, and some of their adventures is Mark Hamill. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
So I think I ought to start with the obvious question, which is, according to what I've read, Bob was killed by Errol Flynn 6 times, yet in 2 movies, you never got to kill him. What happened?
I'm lucky that he was such a tall man, because otherwise he wouldn't have been able to double for Darth Vader, and it would have been more difficult since he was choreographing the fights to have someone. It was just great to have the master himself embody my opponent. And believe me, if I looked good at all, it was because of Bob Anderson, because a real master like that can make you look good. And I have to compare him in many ways to when I've done 2 shows in New York where I've had a choreographer. And the process is very much the same, because you have to give yourself over completely to their teachings, as frustrating as it may be, because your body doesn't respond the way a trained sword master or a dance instructor. It has to be reprogrammed, and you have to. It's almost like I compared it to being like a circus animal, because you get broken down where you have no more free will, and just out of frustration of trying to get it right, you know, to get that treat at the end of the routine, everything goes out the window except pleasing your master and pleasing him in a way that, let's see, I had 1 male choreographer, 1 female choreographer. It's an interesting process, but Bob was extraordinary. He had such a wonderful outlook on life. He had a great sense of humor, which I think is really important, and a great deal of patience. I mean, like I say, you know, you have to get it wrong 1,000 times to get it right. And the most elaborate sword fight I had was in Empire Strikes Back, and it was grueling. But he was, like I say, someone who had an extreme amount of patience. He was just a really kind. He had a wonderful demeanor about him. He was an optimist. He was like a really up person, and there to encourage you when you were falling down, and there to apply the pressure if you were slacking off.
And I imagine one of the traits which you didn't really mention that I've experienced in various worlds is the fact that you had a gray beard, someone who's really been there and done everything. It's a
right.
very calming thing. Because you can really trust this guy and know that he's not going to let you down or get you hurt.
Exactly. And that's a good trust. I'd underline that word on both sides, because I remember one experience we had, which was so frustrating. He had choreographed we did it over a period of 6 weeks in a fight that lasted, I don't know, just a few minutes on screen. So it was physically grueling. And I would come home from work, and my wife would take Polaroids of all the bruises and, you know, abrasions. And, you know, I just felt like a crash test dummy for so much of it, because there's only so much padding you can wear when you're falling and doing somersaults and all whatever it was required. We did this long sequence. It's one of the longer sequences that were, because sometimes you do in short pieces, but this one was pretty long and elaborate. And I would write it out like almost like a storyboard of a cartoon. In other words, I did stick figures in terms of, you know, step 1, step 2, step 3, in terms of where what was going on at any given time. And when we finished it, George Lucas came in to take a look at it. Now, mind you, it was Irvin Kershner that was the director, but George was visiting the set in England and wanted to see what we had. We do the whole routine. I only made about 3 or 4 mistakes, which George couldn't tell, because, again, Bob would cover for me and get me back on track. But at the end of the sequence, you know, where I was beaming, because it went fairly well in terms of what I knew Bob wanted, and George said, "You can't take your hand off the lightsaber. You have to have both hands on the lightsaber at all times." And we said, "What?" He said, "Yes, lightsabers are heavy. They're like 40, 50 pounds. you can't just take it, you know, with one hand and do any of those moves. So we had to go back. I was just beside myself because I thought, first of all, that sounds crazy to me. Why would a lightsaber be that heavy? And, you know, I kept my opinion to myself, obviously. I mean, George is the boss, but we were both so upset because it limits you incredibly in terms of the kind of it limits the variations that you can do in a given routine if you can never take your hand off it. So we had to completely redo the sequence and follow what he said. Now, you flash forward to the prequels. George changed his mind. Now you see these guys all but twirling the lightsabers like they're a baton in one hand, doing spin-arounds and all the things that we had thought of all those years ago, which, you know, again, he's entitled to change his mind. But I was frustrated, and but the way Bob took it was completely different than the way I took it. I was immature and spiteful. I mean, I just really was – I mean, I – kept it to myself, but when we went to the next rehearsal, I was resisting learning a new routine because I like what we had done so much before. And I said, let's show it to Irvin. Maybe he'll talk to George. But Bob said, no, we got to do what the governor said, you know. But he was wonderful. He would tell me these stories because, you know, like you said, he did Ivanhoe. I mean, you look at his resume, it's astonishing, you know, how much experience he had even then. And he had this great shock of white hair. So to me, of course, I thought, oh, he must be really old. But his demeanor and his ability and his prowess was completely, he was very young in his, the way he came across. Yes. You know, the white hair was a red herring.
And I heard that you also got in trouble one more time with Lucas after the filming was done, because you outed Bob to the public and gave him his due.
Well, you know what? I didn't know I was doing something wrong. I've always said, for instance, that Colin Skeeping should get credit. He was my stunt double, and I did mostly all my own stunts, except when the insurance people wouldn't let me, like doing a flip out the plate glass window and so forth, which the stunt guy said, well, you could have done that. I became a member of the British Stunt Association, an honorary member, because of what I was able to do, I let them know I wanted to do them all. But I always think credit where credit's due. I mean, Colin's Keeping was my stunt double, and what you're talking about, I wasn't doing anything noble. It's just I loved Bob so much, and I was so grateful for because I told him at the beginning, I said, I don't know anything about sword fighting. I've never even taken it in school, you know. I'm just never on the fencing team. We did a little bit of stage work in theater, but I never did a sword fight per se. And again, he was so reassuring and so, you know, he said, oh, that's much better for me because you're raw clay, you know, I can mold you the way I need to. I mean, don't worry about it. He was so reassuring and so forth. So what you're talking about was, yeah, I went out there and I was, you know, of course, I was really impressed that he had won, I think, a gold medal as an Olympic fencing champion. So without knowing that they wanted to keep that more to themselves, I just blabbered on about how much I liked him and how grateful I was to him. And I think eventually they would have lightened up and been less strict about that sort of thing. But, you know, at the time, they really didn't. And there was a time I don't think they were even telling people that it was James Earl Jones doing his voice, which anybody that's listened to This is CNN would know exactly who had done that. But like I say, if you really want to be impressed, Google Bob Anderson and just look at his resume. It's astonishing.
Looking back at the history of Bob Anderson with actor Mark Hamill, I'm Andrew Hiller.